Good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning, Mr. Howe.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I forgot to tell Bob to put on headphones. Okay, now he can hear you.
Mr. Howe.
Yes.
All right. That was a totally delightful story, and I'm calling to thank you for it because it put a smile on my face. There was one particularly exquisite transition that thrilled me. When you said at one point the character, the teacher who was being questioned, looked down at her hands. And then there was a couple. There were a couple of more lines of the other character, the karma detective.
Uh-huh.
And then you picked it up again by saying, "Looking up from her hands."
I see what you're getting at. You like the continuity.
Yeah. The fact that there was something. It was brought in the foreground, then it was placed in the background, then it was brought back again. To restate the theme, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're thinking in very visual terms, which is interesting.
I'm sort of envisioning the characters, acting their lives out, on the page, and the situation they're in. I have two questions. How much did you get for your first short story, and how much did you get for your first novel?
There is no first novel.
Oh.
So one hopes it will be huge amounts of money.
Huge, yeah.
One hopes. My first short story I sold to Fantasy Macabre, I think I said, and it was, a penny a word. I made $15 on that.
Really?
I don't recall what I spent that $15 on, but even in 1989, it couldn't have been much.
I see. All right, thank you.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
I always thought that sales like that should go for a plaque.
Right.
And the plaque saying, I sold this blessed story. Well worth it. Well worth commemorating the sale. It pays for itself, literally. Good morning. You're on the radio. Nope, it's our wonderful phone system. Hi, you're on the air.
I hope this doesn't sound too daffy, but I'm calling from Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, and listening to that excerpt made me feel homesick.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you. It was so sort of
a couple of miles off, but only a couple.
Evocative of place. The College Point. I paused for a moment, and I said, "Is that a town in Pennsylvania?" No, it's 7 miles away from here.
It's Queens.
Right. Yes,
I know College Point well. Great place to go see cormorants.
It's a good place for me to get lost, but that's what Queens is to me. But it just took a moment. He's talking about, that place in the north over there where which keeps me from finding the airport.
Right.
Yes, yeah, because you go to Serval, you go to Shea Stadium, you go to Serval Zippers, and you keep on going north, and that's College Point.
Fortunately for me, I have no idea what you're talking about. And
well,
I don't
you
want
see,
to.
I grew up in Queens.
Yeah, I know. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have
bye.
A good morning.
You too.
Telephone number here is 212-209-2900. That's the kind of phone call I love because that puts the story into context. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello.
Let me
get this radio.
Take
off.
Your time. Take it easy. It's too early in the morning to be going nuts.
You're absolutely right. It is. I'm getting ready for work. I caught you a little late, and I was wondering what the name of the book was and the author. It's great. I love the reading. Show is great. I catch it as often as I can.
Thank you, Bob. Do you care to answer?
Yeah, it's not a book. It's that was an excerpt from a novella, which is soiling editors' desks right now, looking for a home. And the title is The Natural History of Calamity.
And the author is Robert J. Howe, H-O-W-E.
Oh, that's yours. Oh, I thought a woman wrote it. That's great, Robert. You have really good instincts.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm pleased to hear that coming from a woman. Thank you.
Say that again, the natural state.
The natural history of calamity.
Now, there is a major compliment. The fact that you actually mistook it for a woman's voice.
I knew it was a man's voice. Really.
Oh, well, but I meant the voice in the story.
Truly, yeah. It was good.
Well, thank you.
Good.
That is, I think, a tribute to good writing.
I say so as well.
Well, I'm flattered.
I'm going to have to try. Is there any information on how I could get the story? Or
Well, I'd have to sell it first.
Okay.
and believe me, I'm hoping much more than you are probably to sell it. But certainly when I do sell it, I will maybe Jim will make an announcement on the
I'll make an announcement, and I'll put it on the Hour of the Wolf website. But you too, Bob, should have a website.
I should have a website. I really should.
You should.
Yeah.
I have a friend who could help you with that.
Thank you.
and she would probably appreciate in the novella as well. If you have a chance, check out studiodog.com.
Studiodog.com. I'll do that.
Okay.
D-O-G?
D-O-G.
As opposed to, I mean, for some reason, I had D-A-W-G in my head. I think it's another site I was at recently.
No, studiodog.com. She's a webmaster.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for your comments.
Okay, have a great day.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Good morning. And hi there. Whoops, no, I didn't press that right. Hi there, you're on the radio. Yep, you see, I didn't press it right. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Robert. I was curious about any advice you could give to a young writer, my son, regarding like workshops and things like that. He writes incessantly, but he's basically directionless. Do you have any guidance for a person like that?
Well, you know, we're all directionless. That's the problem. That's why we're writers, I think.
How old?
21.
21 is, I mean...
I took heart when I heard that you didn't start until you were a little older. And
yeah, I was 20. I was, let's see. I was 23 when I started fiction writing.
Le Guin was older. Le Guin was in her
30s. lots of, especially in the genre, actually, lots of writers start older. But
is your son a genre writer or a writer?
You know, he's a genre writer. I mean, he writes incessantly. I mean, he could crank out lots of very good prose, and he does, you know, what do they call those things? He'll do role play thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what impresses me is he's extremely creative and productive. The production is what gives me hope.
Well, I have a recommendation I'm surprised Robert hasn't thought of. Clarion.
Okay. I heard you mention that this morning. So okay.
Clarion is a writer's workshop that is held. There are two flavors. There's West Coast and Midwest.
Okay.
And it is a six-week course.
Okay.
Very intensive. Very professional.
All right.
And there are usually six teachers, one per week. Usually one is an editor. The one in the Midwest tends to be a little more academic, a little more of a college kind of a venue, all around, all about the mechanics of writing. The West Coast one tends, and this is, by the way, can change from year to year. The West Coast one tends to be more popular writers than academic writers.
Okay.
But this is a broad stroke I'm painting and not truly fair.
That's okay.
But it's sort of laid out that way. I'm not sure offhand where one applies, but if you have internet access.
Oh, sure.
If you go to your preferred search engine and type in Clarion
Writer's Workshop.
Writer's Workshop.
Okay.
Yeah. You will find it. That is a great...
Another question I would ask is your son submitting his fiction?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Well...
I mean, that's what I mean, directionless. He is basically... He just writes incessantly, has friends he shares things with, will tweak other people's things. I told him he lives in his head, which is, he's a writer.
Yeah. Here's my first piece of advice. I would go to the SIFWA website. It's www.sfwa.org, O-R-G. And that is the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America website. There is a huge number of resources for new writers on that website, including... including markets and including information about Clarion. Both of the Clarions for this year are over.
The submission is over. They're just starting.
Okay. But the submission cycle is over for both Clarions.
Deadline is about October, so it's a good time to be submitting now.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay, because Jim has that on his website, and I went there and I looked around and so forth. But he has to get started. He has to sort of break out of his bedroom with all his writing and so on. Sound like you went to sea and you did all sorts of other things. What did you do to make a living after, besides being in the Merchant Marine?
Oh, God, I've had a million different what they call book jacket jobs. I mean, right now I write for a living for a communications company, and I've done all kinds of different jobs for a living. I've baked bagels. I worked as a veterinary technician.
I understand.
You know,
and some of these at the same time.
Some at the same time. But, I would say that a good place to start is the CIFL website. That will give him a lot of resources and to connect with fellow writers. And Clarion is a very good way. I mean, Bill Shun and I went to Clarion in 1985, and I'm still very close with him after 20 years, with him and with several other of my Clarion classmates. So it's a very good place to meet fellow writers.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jim. Thank you very much, Robert.
Yeah, one more thought, by the way. Since your son is trading stories and doing all this with other people, maybe they could start their own workshop.
That's a very good idea. It seems like though my son is the more skilled and so on, but mm-hmm. maybe you know that's it. I think I'm just have parental anxiety.
Let me tell you something. I am not a good writer, and I know it. I'm a good writer when it comes to nonfiction, but I am not a good writer of fiction. And yet, I always thought that I would be great in workshops. Because I can get to the heart of a story. I can talk to a writer in their language about it. So even if the other people within the scope of the workshop may not be up to your son's level, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't add value to his experience.
I understand what you're saying. That seems totally reasonable. Yeah, that's great. You give me hope. As I said, I'm just a little anxious. And I see that's his total nature and his gift. You know how it's in, but you could see a person's gift.
Could be worse. You could want you could end up doing radio for 38 years at a non-commercial station.
I'm actually grateful that you're doing that, but you know, I just always hope you're 100% happy too.
Happy, yes. Paying the rent is another question.
That's a difficult thing for many people.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, thank you again,
and good luck with your son.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Good morning. Telephone number here at WBAI is 212-209-2900 if you'd like to call up and speak with Bob Howe about his writing or about your writing or about your son or daughter's writing, in fact, if you care to. It is 6:42 almost here on WBAI. I don't know what time it is where you are, but here it is. Our clock says 6:42. You see, you have to qualify that because who knows if that thing has been set properly. Trying to remember. Oh, yes, next week. Let me take at the end of the show, I'll say what's on next week. You can all wait. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Can you give us the name of the writer's website again?
He doesn't have one.
The one you just mentioned?
Oh, it's www.sfwa.
SF?
S as in Sally, Frank, writer, Alice.
It's Science Fiction Writers of America, okay. So it's SFWA.
Okay.
.org.
.org.
Okay. Alice, A-L-I-C?
No, it's just SFWA.org.
Just the letters, SFWA.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.